Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
We are in the final home stretch for Switch 2. It's coming out very soon. We've been noticing that Nintendo is sort of doing their last big marketing push for this thing. And yeah, it's getting kind of real.
Yeah, we have the sense that they had a couple phases built into their launch campaign. That's something that when we worked there, we were very familiar with. Phase one, phase two.
Oh, the phases.
Sometimes there were a lot of phases. And every phase has sort of a different objective and different target audience. And the feeling that we have is that the first phase was from the Switch 2 Direct on April 2nd, probably going until these pre-orders kind of got through.
Right.
And that one was going to be focused on people like us who are, you know, hunting down every bit of information.
The core Nintendo fan.
Talking on the internet, just desperate to get any bit of news about the Switch 2.
Yeah.
But now that you know, Nintendo can dust their hands of that. Mission accomplished. We did it. No problems at all.
Pre-order sold out.
Sold out. Great.
That's right.
Now they're turning their attention to something a little bit different.
Yeah. I love talking about this stuff because it is, you know, things that we worked on before when we were at Nintendo. But it is interesting to look at how Nintendo approaches marketing for a big new system because it gives you a lot of indications as to who they are really prioritizing. Who do they think Switch 2 is for? Once Nintendo is in this sort of broader phase outside of the no duh, of course we're going to try to get every Nintendo fan to buy this, but once they're in sort of this second phase, really interesting to see who Nintendo thinks is their most likely audience to get the system, and it just means that they will be, you know, prioritizing those kinds of people for hopefully the duration of this campaign.
Right. So here's what we've been seeing that is, you know, leading us down this path of like, oh, yes, they're shifting their focus to something different. They've had some very high-profile advertising. Most recently, we saw it in the NBA playoffs, which are happening. A lot of people tune into that. That notably is also where Activision would often reveal their new Call of Duty games of like, oh, tune into the NBA playoffs and watch the first bit of the trailer and then blah, blah, blah. Like they make a whole campaign around the NBA playoffs because there's a lot of people in their target audience who are watching that. The Paul Rudd ad aired during the New York Knicks and Boston Celtics, a very high profile series of games that people are watching. They had this in-game integration, the sponsored Switch 2 Star Watch. Oh my gosh, let's see what Jason Tatum just did, hitting the fadeaway three-pointer at the buzzer.
What?
And so on.
Who is that and what is that?
And then the other thing, we just saw this ourselves when we were in Boston for PAX East. We saw a lot of Switch 2 billboards just out and about. And over the weekend, we've been looking online. Like, people have been seeing these all over the place. New York, really high-profile spots in New York.
LAX.
Los Angeles, obviously. Boston. It seems like with every day, more people are spotting these around their towns.
Yeah.
That's a type of advertising called out-of-home, which maybe is not a term that everybody knows. But it just means anywhere that is, again, not in your
screen,
home. So if you're just like out in a public place, so like a billboard.
A bus ad.
Exactly. Anything like that counts as out-of-home advertising. So they're making a big push on really like high-profile television advertising and also this big out-of-home push to just reach a lot of people as efficiently as they can.
Yeah, and again, you were saying that, you know, the first phase of this pretty clearly was aimed towards the people already looking for information about Switch 2, the very dedicated, very plugged-in Nintendo fan that, you know, watches every Nintendo Direct, counting down the days. These kinds of things that they're doing, like advertising during the NBA playoffs and having this, you know, these billboards out in these major cities, are targeted to a completely different audience. This is for people that may be familiar with Nintendo, may have played a Switch, you know, once upon a time, or maybe play a bit more casually. They're not probably watching every single Nintendo Direct or trying to, you know, eke out every bit of information about Nintendo Switch, too. So this is to get this other sort of the next rung out of people interested and just remind them that, oh, yes, that's right, Nintendo has a new thing coming out really soon. I remember playing the Switch 3 years ago. I haven't touched it for a while, but this new thing seems interesting. I should look into this more.
Exactly. So these are the non-info seekers. And again, versus like, well, I'll put the thing out and people will find it. Like, you need to drop this in front of things that they're interacting with in their everyday life. So their commute to work, like, oh, I just saw a giant billboard, or like, mm-hmm. I am on the bus that has the billboard
on it. Yeah, the subway is here, or here is the
billboard. Well, I planned to watch the NBA basketball game, but now I'm watching this ad.
Yes.
And as a result, since these are such mass market opportunities for advertising, it's also very expensive.
That's the thing.
So this is where, like, if you were watching like the curve of Nintendo's expenditures
on marketing,
this is where it starts to really go sky high.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that they're starting now. I mean, we still have several weeks to go. It's barely mid-May now.
Mm-hmm.
So they clearly plan to spend a lot of money on this thing, as well they should.
Yeah, for sure. This is where you can see the money hockey stick, like, pretty insanely, because it actually is pretty cheap, almost free, for them to reach the dedicated Nintendo fan. We are they call us the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Because it costs no
money.
We're
using all the marketing jargon today.
Yeah, we don't cost any money. And we spend the most money.
Right.
but, you know, Nintendo Directs, they make those, they produce those in-house.
Right.
That is not something that they're like paying money to distribute. You know, things that they do to reach a dedicated Nintendo fan, a person that's looking for information about a Switch 2, is almost zero marketing dollars. But these things, trying to reach that next rung, the next sort of concentric circle out in terms of target audience, is where it gets more and more and more expensive. And the more sort of further away you get from the core, the more expensive it's going to be.
And this is why in the industry you can see companies run a really tight ship, you know, with a game that might sell, like, you know, I'm thinking of like the X Seeds of the world, like Atlas before they got bought up by Sega. It's like, yeah, like we can aim to sell 100,000 copies of this game and be fine because we know that we are in a genre where people are going to seek this out. It's really diehard fans.
We have a very dedicated fan base.
Maybe I'll run a couple ads on IGN. I'll break the bank and I'll buy these
digital
ads. But that's kind of it. Like, you're not having these big budgets because you don't need to reach grandma and, you know, Billy's mom. It's like, no, Billy's on the internet 24/7. He's chronically addicted, and he's like retweeting some translated thing from Famitsu. You don't have to worry about Billy.
Yeah. It is, and this is actually not their most mass market, I think, advertisement. We're seeing sort of the middle phase right now, where it's like, you're still kind of getting the edges of the people. Again, these people might have been Switch owners. They may have just not been as dedicated as the core Nintendo fan playing every Switch game, you know, for the last 8 years. They may have played like Smash Brothers and then haven't played their Switch for like 2 years, 3 years, whatever. So you're still sort of getting like the fringes of people that have a general understanding and awareness about what a Nintendo Switch does and is, you know. They may even have some nostalgia, like this could be a nostalgia play, especially because they're running that Paul Rudd ad, and we talked so much with our good friend Monica, who was on the advertising team, about how this is such an interesting audience for Nintendo to be really like spending a lot of money on, is their sort of lapsed gamer nostalgia audience who, yes, maybe remember a Switch 1, but even more, maybe remember a GameCube game or a SNES game. So yeah, they're spending a lot of money to try to impact this particular audience, to try to convert them, obviously. And it's a risky thing to do because, obviously, with a dedicated Nintendo fan, you can spend literally no money and they're probably going to buy the thing. You're going to get a lot of return back. For this audience, though, you could spend millions of dollars on an MBA ad, but what is your actual return on that ad?
And I imagine some people watching this video right now might be like saying, why are you spending this at all? You just sold out your pre-orders. You got a backlog of pre-orders. These people aren't going to be able to get it anyway if they're just hearing about it now. Why even bother with this?
Yeah, yes, that's very true. You know, this is a very long-term kind of thing that you, as a brand, you have to do to maintain relevancy. You know, once your core fan is exhausted, once all, you know, 15 million of us, let's say, get the thing, what happens next? You don't get to 175 million units of Switch 1 by only talking to your very core fan base. You have to do stuff constantly, not just the one time during launch, but constantly for 8 years to try to break out of that core fan base. That's how you make billions of dollars.
Right. This is maybe not a play for them to buy it right now, but it might be for this holiday season. Heck, it might even be for next holiday season.
Yeah, awareness.
In marketing, we have this thing called the awareness curve. And it's like, you know, if you don't know about the thing, you can't buy it. So we have to start with that. And then are you interested? And then it's like, are you ready to buy it? Yeah. There's all these things that you need to move people along. And you know, these people who are not, you know, champing at the bit to get a Switch 2, they can move a little bit slowly. So you need... This is why it takes time and a lot of investment from Nintendo to get them there.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, what just, you know, rule of thumb, what makes this mass advertising effective is really being efficient in your message. Like, again, mm-hmm. these people are not going to sit down and watch a 40-minute Nintendo Direct. Like, you really have to be quick with it. So in this case, we have a recognizable celebrity in Paul Rudd. Okay, I know him. I like him.
And this audience that is watching an NBA game, whatever, is probably going to have some crossover with knowledge. With
Paul Rudd. Ant-Man. Great.
It's Ant-Man.
Love him. Or I saw him in that Seth Rogen movie. He was funny.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
You've got Mario. Mario and all those billboard ads. It's Mario on the Mario Kart. You know,
Very recognizable.
75 million copies of that out there. People love Mario Kart. You got a catchy tagline. It's really interesting that they're going with in these billboards. Power up, throw down. Versus the all together, anytime, anywhere, which is, it's still on the billboard, but it's in very fine print, easy to miss, almost like, we had to put that on there.
Yeah, you know, because it was in the ad.
The client Nintendo insisted that we put that on there, but we're going with power up and throw down.
Yeah. Again, this is a play on the audience they're trying to reach. Think about the person that is at the NBA game, that is watching that ad, you have to get, you know, when you do these kinds of marketing, mass marketing things, you have to get into the head of the person you're trying to reach. And I think they were clever in creating a different tagline for this, which is very much like competitive. It feels very like, oh, cool, you know, I'm going to get to play Mario Kart, which is a fun competitive game with my friends. There is this bit of a nostalgia play, like this kind of NES, SNES to, you know, NES, you know, now you're playing with power, kind of a sense to it. So I can see how they came up with this tagline.
From the people that brought you Settle It in Smash.
Exactly.
Very much. Exactly. Because it is the same people doing this for a long time.
And it's probably the same audience they're trying to reach, honestly.
Do you have thoughts on this new wave of more mass advertising? Is this working for you?
I think it's actually better than their first wave. I did not really like that original tagline of all together, anytime, anywhere. I thought it was a little weak.
It's a bit clunky. It's a mouthful.
It's not clean like the original Switch 1 message. And because they were using game chat as a way to sell the all together part of it, didn't really convince me, honestly. This one, I think, is actually pretty good. Because, again, I think... this really captures the fun that you're going to get, like, right when you get the system and get Mario Kart. Like, this is the whole point of this, you know? It's like you get to have a fun time playing competitively, playing online, playing with your friends. And this is a powered-up version of Nintendo Switch.
I agree. I like it a lot. And, you know, that's why the original Paul Rudd ad is several minutes long. Is because they can slice and dice that so many different ways to tell different stories or to reach different people. So, you know, they're going to make a cut that conveys the just the right amount of information for this audience that they want to reach.
Yeah.
So they have a lot to work with there. I like these billboards. I think they look, we saw these in person.
They look great.
The color is very eye-catching. The artwork they've chosen for Mario Kart is cool. And I like the power up and throw down. There's like, it needs to be brief by design, but it's working for me.
Yeah, it gets the message across in a pretty clean way. It captures like the fun of, you know, what you're going to a video game system to do. And I agree. I think the Mario Kart artwork actually that they have like across the board have been really good. I like that, you know, the character models have a lot more expression. I really like, and I've seen this in other things beyond the billboard, is that they always have Mario with like a bit of like that dust cloud
motion
behind him. So yeah, there's like motion, there's a sense of like speed and action. So it doesn't look like just, you know, the old, I think the Mario Kart 8 models is just very stagnant looking. It's just like some guy sitting still in a cart.
Right. But he's upside down. There's no gravity.
Hard to kind of figure that out in a billboard or in an image.
Right.
This one, you can just see the kind of, you get the sense of like, oh, the race is happening. You know, like this is, it's good.
So
it's really good.
In the couple weeks that they have left until the Switch 2 comes out, how do we see this wave, this phase of the marketing campaign just continuing to escalate to a fever pitch when this thing actually comes out?
Fever pitch. Yes. Wow. The marketing
fever. We need to escalate. We need to spend more money.
Well, we have money to spend.
So they're going to continue to ramp up this advertising. Expect to see this in more places, more really mass, and again, becoming a bit more, you know, again, you're talking about the concentric circles. Like, are we going to move out another from beyond the NBA playoffs to something that's even more mass? That'll be interesting to tell.
But probably.
At a minimum, it seems like, you know, something, you know, reaching that kind of slightly less engaged fan is where they're going to really be
spending.
It's
like the less and less engaged fan. That's how you do it.
Yes.
You start with the very, very engaged fan, and then you kind of move out from there.
Right. It's like, do they need to run an ad on 60 Minutes? Probably not. Is that even still going on, 60 Minutes? I don't know.
2020?
Tick, 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 tick. Blue Bloods, we're reaching Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, Blue Bloods.
Some CBS programming. No, we probably don't need to do that. There is a limit to how far we're going to take this.
There's lots of studies and marketing, you know, audience studies have been done around this campaign to figure out exactly the right jigsaw of people that you're wanting to reach and how to reach them,
right,
and how much it's going to cost.
Paul Rudd, we expect to see more of him.
Yeah.
When you sign a celebrity to this kind of deal, you're also signing on some other activities for him to do. And we already saw that he did a big interview with IGN right when the thing ran. That's when we were in the other phase. That's when we were talking to the
Why it was IGN.
Info Seekers, which is exactly why it was IGN.
Now he's going to go on the Today Show.
He's probably going to do a couple more of these.
Yep.
So expect to see him pop up here or there.
And he might just be like a long-term spokesperson for Switch, for Switch 2, so he might be seen, you know, even after launch, you might get some Paul Rudd stuff, you know, so he might just be around.
Right. There's something that the PR team's going to be working on. It's got a funky name. It's called a seminal story. What exactly is this? What does this mean?
Oh, gosh. Well, this is like a more of like a big feature story or sort of like a, so instead of like, here's a review of Mario Kart, you know, Metacritic score that typically more gaming-focused news outlets do. This is like a bigger feature story that talks about broader things about Nintendo, the brand.
The vision for all of this. Typically, you'll have some quote, you know, some interview with some very high, you know, at least Doug Bowser. If not,
Doug Bowser's the base.
If not,
it's like Doug Bowser or better.
People in Japan might be chiming in for this to get the full story.
Exactly.
And like you're aiming really high in terms of media outlets. It's like, all right, you know.
We got a feature story in the New York Times.
Washington Post, New York Times. You know, these days it's hard to, it's like,
not a lot exists anymore.
Geez,
so.
These print publications, it's tricky. But this was always like spending months by the PR team of like, we need to land some of these seminal stories to run around launch for the big mainstream hits.
And it's a lot of work. You have to pitch the editor on like exactly the angle you want to take so that it feels like something big enough for a feature. You have to work so closely with the writer to really like get your stuff across, because yes, you want this to be like a brand piece on Nintendo, but ultimately what you actually want is to sell a Switch 2 to right. the readers of this mass publication. So you kind of have to do this like weird tightrope balancing act of like, how do you frame the story in a way where it's like, well, let's talk about innovation, but let's actually talk about Switch 2.
Yeah.
So it is a very interesting play in terms of like a bit more of like a, you know, a PR. It's almost like the PR way to do mass advertising.
Yes.
Is what I would say a seminal story is.
Exactly. Because a review with the nuts and bolts of the thing is maybe going to be over the heads of some of the readers.
Exactly.
I always get these. I get a text from my mom. Oh,
exactly.
I read about that new Nintendo in the newspaper. Have you seen it? It's like, yeah, I was working on that.
Yeah, that is exactly
that's
who
what
you
want
to get a text from.
Right.
So that means you did your job.
Yes.
Because if you get a text from...
I always knew we were doing something right when I got those texts.
Yeah, if my mom sees it, or like if, you know, somebody in your circle that is not really engaged with all the video game news And you know, you're sitting down to your family dinner and someone's like, oh, hey, you get
Krista,
that new Nintendo thing?
Have you heard about the Nintendo 2?
That's right.
I heard it is coming.
Yes. This new Nintendo 2. You like video games. You getting that?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Also, the PR team's also going to be getting going on their reviews for the system. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. There's not going to be a lot of outlets that get this.
Right.
It will be a very tight group, but yeah, you know, there'll be some
reviews.
More mainstream in nature. Some, you know, like the IGNs of the world, just don't expect them all to have it on day one because they're not all going to have the system.
I think Nintendo will be prioritizing. Yes, there's going to be a few, very few, sort of like maybe it's just IGN, honestly, but like, you know, a few game focused outlets that get this. But I think they're going to try to make the argument for more like just tech general media reviews to come out, because again, that reaches a much bigger audience than like, fine, a review in IGN, it's great.
7 out of 10, here we come.
Here comes the 7 out of 10.
Too much water.
Oh. But you're also reaching the same people again.
Yeah.
The people
who already bought it.
That you could have gotten for free.
Right.
So why would you need to send IGN a $500 Switch?
Exactly. Like, even though they will. Yes.
For relationship purposes.
Right.
But really the more important thing is sending it out to more of
starting bigger, to reach beyond that.
Bigger tech.
Yes. Probably soon we will hear about some sort of a launch event or launch events now that there are
multiple
Nintendo stores.
Yes.
So either in New York or in San Francisco. And when we used to do these, like the mantra was always, it's a local event, but we need to be doing something that's going to reach a national audience. Mm-hmm. So whether there's some sort of like a photo opportunity
or a stunt.
Like, again, like would Paul Rudd potentially show up and do something at this event that they could, you know, film and put that out? Like, oh my gosh, Paul Rudd did this thing.
Yeah, or is there something else? Some big
He parachuted like off the Empire State Building and landed on Nintendo New York. Like that's the kind of thing that they're like, people are brainstorming crazy ideas like that.
He'll be fine in the making of this launch event.
He's timeless. He's invincible. He'll outlive
ageless,
us all.
He's ageless. He'll
outlive us all. So that's something that we'll probably be hearing about. So here's the plans for the big event. But it's something that everybody's going to have an interest in checking out. Like, what did happen at that event? Oh, that was fun. That's reminding me. They need a stunt.
They need a visual aspect to it to make it feel more than just like this was a local, you know, buy the thing now in New York City or San Francisco.
And then just a couple things that they'll do sort of immediately after the Switch 2 comes out. Something, again, that we used to call a momentum release, which is bragging about how much you sold. And in this case, I think they'll have a lot to brag about. They'll probably smash a lot of records. There's so many ways you can slice and dice.
That's the fun part about this one.
The fastest selling.
Fastest selling is the easiest metric, though.
Right. You can do it however you want. And sometimes, like, there were plans. It's like, well, this is the threshold. If we don't meet this threshold, we're not going to do it. So there often is like a game of chicken of like, are we going to do this or not? And they'll get the thing ready and then you don't end up using it.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm pretty sure they will.
They will. What they'll do is they'll write the release and leave all the numbers
blank. Yeah, you just
plug
in the numbers.
And then you come up with what you think the best, most likely headline will be that of the record that you're breaking. Fastest selling is the easiest one to break. So if you see that as the headline, that could mean they did not break some of the harder records. And that's why they went with fastest selling. Fastest selling, they'll definitely break. Like 100% they'll break that
And you can also do it you know, again, since we're here in North America, you can do it only for North America, or you can do it globally as well. That's harder.
Because you got to wait for numbers
to come
in.
You need everybody to feed in their numbers and add it up and verify all of that, which is tough.
So if we don't see a release like immediately after June 5th,
that's why.
That means that they are a little bit like the numbers region by region are a little soft. Let's combine globally.
Well, it could be, you know, headquarters is like, no, we have a huge number and we need to wait to put it out there.
True.
So we need to wait for, you know, hey, Europe, you know, trickle in these numbers.
Also, this is poised to be very, selling really well in Japan because they have like the different price point there.
Right.
So Japan may be asking them like, hey, wait for us because we know we're going to report a big number.
Right.
Because we know like indications from, you know, the market already. So interesting. I love this stuff.
The last thing within the retail team is just getting those demo units installed. We've seen the pictures of people saying, oh, they just uninstalled the original Switch Interactive, because they're getting ready to install a Switch 2 Interactive, which will be a fun and exciting day.
Yeah,
they are always like, it's a race to get these done around the launch. So I wouldn't expect to see these pre-launch, but right around the time of the launch is when these will be in there. And that's just such a great, I mean, that is like marketing in and of itself, of people just browsing, you know, a Walmart or a Target or wherever.
You might not be there to buy video games.
And it's like, oh, well, there's the new things here. I'll check this out.
Exactly.
And then who knows? You might end up buying it at some point.
Or you might be with somebody else and like they're like, oh, hey, let's go check this out together. Or you park a kid in front of the babysitter that is the Switch 2, you know, retail demo, and then go about your shopping. And I mean, that is such a good way to reach like a more mass audience.
Yeah. So that will mark the end of this phase that we're currently in now, going to the launch. And then there'll be, we'll look ahead just a little bit. There will be another phase that will be kind of that post-launch, really pushing the momentum. That's going to be about, again, is there going to be some sort of a June Nintendo Direct? Mm-hmm. This kind of next wave of announcements. You've also got Summer Game Fest, the Xbox. We haven't seen an Xbox game being mentioned yet for a Switch 2. So how's that going to get integrated?
Maybe that's being saved for after the Xbox games.
All of those June announcements. That next wave of game reveals. You've got the Donkey Kong campaign that's going to ramp up as soon as Mario Kart is out, because that's the next hot thing that we want people to get focused on.
And that's a July game, so all of June you're going to see the transition from Mario Kart to Donkey Kong.
Right.
Which will be fun. Probably a lot more info about the game will start rolling out, like previews and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then that's going to lead right into the first holiday where, again, it's going to become more of a mass message, and they probably will be building up more stock to get it out there in time for the holiday so people can buy it when they're shopping for presents.
Yeah, there you go.
They're going to be busy.
That's how the marketing works.
Wow.
For a launch, like hardware, that's how the marketing works. And yes, they're very busy. The people are tired.
The checkbook is on fire.
The bank account.
You get some and you get some and you get some.
The bank account is very busy too. The money is just flowing out of that bank account. But then it'll flow back in.
Right.
Once they've sold all the things.
Exactly.
But yes, it is a lot of like moving pieces, different things have different teams are on, on deck to do all the things. A lot of money is being spent. You know, this is a very expensive marketing campaign for Nintendo because they have to make this a success.
Now's
so they're going to be pulling at all the stops for this. But yeah, we hope that you like this more sort of crunchier marketing video. We like it because this is what we do. And I find it very fascinating to watch every little aspect of Nintendo's marketing for this new system, because it just, again, it gives us a great clue into how they're thinking about this, how they're thinking about this next generation, and what the future could mean for this generation.
Indeed.
So hope you enjoyed this video, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.